Forgiven and forgiving to your next level. That's our message. We'll get into that in a little bit. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to know and walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus actually said, John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is one way and only one way. But look at this next verse, John 6:44. This is amazing. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I'll raise him up in the last day. There's this I want you thing that goes on. And if you know the Lord now, and you take a piece of paper and you write down the significant times and events and people in your life, and just put that on a piece of paper, and you, before you receive the Lord, you will notice that the Lord has actually sent people into your life to draw you to Him before you ever. He draws people to Himself. Now watch this, John 17:3, and he's in prayer. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. He's talking about Father God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That they may know you, but say, know you. And we know Father God's heart. See, a lot of people can't relate to God as a father, but they can relate to Jesus. And Jesus says, let me show you who the Father is by how I love you. And then we come to know the Father, because many people have bumps and bruises and things relating to fathers. Is that right? I did. And we want to be better than that, but through what Jesus will do. And you know what's an amazing thing too? When God gets a hold of a man and he becomes a real Christ-like type man, he can actually speak words of grace into people that heal where another father hurt somebody. Isn't that amazing? It's a wonderful thing. Because we can speak under the influence of the one who invades our life and cause good things to happen for other people. Now, I'm saying this because I'm dealing with this just for a moment, because there are a lot of folks that there's a false doctrine that's out there that says, well, everybody's going to end up in heaven, and there's not really a hell, and there's nothing. It's all, you know, you don't really have to receive the Lord. He's going to save you eventually. That's not what this says. The Bible tells the truth. And so I don't want you guys in the dark about this. Look at this, Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? To gain the whole world and forfeit his soul. So we need to come to a place where we... And here's a follow-up on that. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. How many of you found that that's really very true? The truth of the word is very verifiable. It bears witness to your experience in life. It says, and those who enter it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. But man, is it a joy to find the people that find the Lord. The people, there's this like precious faith, no matter what country you're in, no matter when the Spirit of the Lord is resting in somebody's life, and you just feel that, this is my family. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Amen. And some of us are just hard-nosed, hard-headed ruffians. And God's got to keep setting you up into a place where He cracks it open. Is that right? How many of you wrestle with your own pride on occasion? How many of you had to face down your own fears on occasion? We're going to have a healing line up here in a minute. Just a couple more verses before we jump in. This is the John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and whoever believes in Him. And the word believes here is not just this mental thing. It has to do with a reliance upon. It has to do with a full-hearted commitment to. Believes in Him should not perish. You see, so people who do not believe in Him perish. and do not have eternal life. It says, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The next verse is in Acts 4:12. It says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And say, well, how's that work? He didn't make it hard. Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth, see, the Lord's drawing you. He's drawing you to himself. You showed up here today. Something in your heart wants something more than what you got. People seek out extra help. They don't know what it is they need. And so often we really don't know what it is we really need. We just know we're made for more and we're not getting it. And then we try and we try to, I've done this, everybody's done it. You try to get something to fill up that place in your life. Something, someone, something. And you try to put it in your life and make sense of your life and you realize it's not working. So you go get something else. And then you realize that's not working. And maybe that one something else led you to another bad something else. And now a whole season of something else is, that has really begun to become a creation of wreckage in your life. And then you realize, what in the world is wrong with me? The more I try to find that what's going to fulfill me in my heart, the more tripped up I get. Some people are so ashamed of the things they've done, they don't think that God will ever love them or ever forgive them, and that's a lie. That's a stronghold, and that's a bondage, and that's a thing that holds people back. Because Jesus died for all that. Well, I'm too much. I've done too much. Whoa, 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 whoa. He forgives to the uttermost. Jesus is the one who cares deepest for us. He gave everything for us. And I just want to throw it out here. I was going to put it in later, but here's the thought. What more does the Lord have to do for you to get better? Or could it be that you don't understand everything he's already done? And since you don't understand everything he's already done for you, then you don't know how to apply what he's already done for you. And that's why we come here. We come here so you can see what the Lord has already done for you. When you understand what Jesus has already done for you, which is what the gospel is about. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about the preaching of a good news, and the good news is not try harder. That's bad news. That's the news in your own head. But the good news is, I have already done it for you. And we think, well, surely we need to do something more. And the Lord's going, nope. Well, what is it you need to do? Believe in me. But that's not enough, you think. He says, well, you don't know everything I've done for you yet. Keep believing in what I've done for you. It's amazing. And we have a tendency to try to become, we try to build our whole life around works. And it's just worthless. Isn't that true? And then you come to, and it's like, wait a minute. You come in and you realize this is not filling up my life. Yes, having patterns and disciplines to help you hear God. Yeah, that's good stuff. Opening up to His Spirit and learning how to repent and do all the things that cause you to receive all of the fullness of the things He has for you. Those are all the good things that we want to do. But when you learn the very first steps, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. And he says, let's start there. Let's start with your heart and your mouth. How many of you, your heart and your mouth has got you in so much trouble? Well, he said, we're going to be working on your heart and your mouth the rest of your life. What your heart's given to and what your... Because your heart can be fooled, it can be deceived, it can be confused, right? And what your mouth opens up and says can really ensnare you and trap you and cause bad things to happen to you. And you can end up believing in your heart stupid things about your life because of what your mouth has said. Today, we're going to go ahead and invite a spirit of forgiveness, to receive the forgiveness of God, and to be a forgiving people so that we can go up to another level in our life. And whenever these things are alive and active in the body of Christ and in people, when they're alive and active in us, then we end up having freedom and the power of the Spirit to live our life fully. I do not like religion-based works for anybody. I don't like it. I don't want it. I've been in environments like that, and if you don't measure up to whatever their thing is, you're looked down upon. Well, Jesus didn't do that. He said, that's wrong. He says, you whitewashed sepulchers. You're dead man's bones on the inside. Y'all washed up on the outside. This is not who this is. Jesus said, look, you come into his presence and there's going to be an availability of God's love into your life to cause you to step up and come out of things that you never thought you could live at, to get over, right? How many of you are taking a few lumps? Tell you. Now let's get into the message here. Mark. That was the introduction. And hey, this, I'm telling you, it's not all that long, but I have other stuff here. It was a good ride, wasn't it? It's like good. Okay, now that you're on the bus, let's go ahead and crank the thing up. All right. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, I want to make a comment about what's further down in there because these stories go together, but I just want to pull something out of the bottom there. Past chapter, verse 12, it goes and talks about Levi or Matthew and how Jesus says to this tax collector, come with me. And what happens is he goes and has a party at his house, and all these Pharisees come in there, and they're down on him again. And basically he says this. He says, I didn't come for the well. I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sick. And the insight there is just understand the nature of your sickness. How many of you have been misdiagnosed ever? It's a bummer to be misdiagnosed. You can go a year. And finally one doctor steps up and says, hey, that's not the right diagnosis, and you're under the wrong protocol for medicine. Everything's wrong. Let me tell you a wrong diagnosis. If I was just married to the right man, if I was just married to the right woman, can I tell you a correct diagnosis? If I just was the right man, if I just was the right woman, then God could arrange. See, you got to work on you. Wow. Now, when you get the right diagnosis, now when you look at the Word of God, it begins to make sense. Because the real medicine is in the book. And there's a life-giving presence, and I believe if you will open up your heart right now and determine you're going to hear, the Lord's going to make some adjustments and cause you to step further. And there are areas of disappointment that people have about their own lives. Have you ever done something? I can't explain this, so I just know it's real because the adversary is so deceptive. You can end up having a hellish thought process working you over, and you feel like you were to blame the whole time. You've already asked God for forgiveness, and he's still there pumping that stuff. Wouldn't you like to get rid of that? The Lord wants to heal the pain that the sin created. Whether you did it to yourself or somebody did it to you or just something bad happened, he just wants to heal it. This is the Jesus that I know. And if you don't know the Jesus I know, you need to know the Jesus I know because I was broken. I was Humpty Dumpty and I went down and cracked into a million pieces. And Jesus put me back together again. And he will put you back together again. He will cause your whole life to come back together, and you will have in you the capacity to do what you couldn't do, what you were originally when you were conceived. When God had that little mind, that little thing, where, forget who the parents are. When God had that little sperm running in and pop in the egg, it goes, there's my baby. And God already had it all planned out. The days numbered about who you are. And then suddenly the clobbering begins. And the Lord says, part of the pathway is healing out of the clobbering. And as I begin to restore you, you'll come into that place that I've made you for. Is that right? Okay, so now here's the... If you have a Bible or something, I'm in the English Standard Version, and I'm reading out of... If you just want to lean in like we did last week, I'm just going to read the story. Just pay attention. We'll pretend we're around the fireplace. You have your hot chocolate. You got your ears on. And this is about Jesus. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And Jesus saw their faith. Let's stop there just for a minute. Everybody needs four good friends. When you're stuck, you need some friends. When you can't walk right, you need some friends. You need some people that'll get you to Jesus. Will you be the person that helps somebody get to Jesus? Did somebody help you get to Jesus? Return the favor, pay it forward. And Jesus saw their faith. He sees the faith in your heart seeking to help your friend get better. And guess what? Most everybody's been misdiagnosed. And we know that Jesus is the great physician. And he didn't come for the well, he came for the sick. And so if we can just get in front of Jesus, if we could just get the people in front of Jesus, get him in front of the preaching of the word, get him in front of the life-giving truths of the message of the word of God. Do you know the gospel is three things? It's repeated over and over. It's the preaching of the word, which goes to the spirit of man. The good news awakens the spirit of man, and when you receive the Lord, your spirit comes alive. And then there's something, so there's the spirit, a soul, and the body. Spirit, soul, and body. Ever say spirit?
Spirit,
soul, and body. Guess what Jesus did for the soul? He cast out demons. Guess what he did for the body? He healed the sick. Start with the spirit, get the spirit revived. Deal with the devil. He went around healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And I want to just mention this. There's no real depression unless you've been a Christian and walked away from the Lord. That's where the real depression comes in. Other people can have depression and all kinds of scarring, but if you've known the life source and you walk away from the life source, there ain't enough pills to make you better. You need to return to the life source. You need to get your diagnosis right. And bring the brokenness to him. And bring the waywardness to him. And bring what went off tracks to him. And bring all of your own missteps to him. And bring all of your own bad beliefs to him. And bring all your broken past to him. Bring it. Just keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. And what's he do? He keeps mending you. He keeps putting it together. The average person is a bundle of ungrieved losses. The average person. The average person has had so many things happen to them that have not been resolved. And they don't know how to... And, you know, most of the time, something will happen to you, and nobody acknowledges that it was painful. And you just swallow the pain and go on. And then you get in an environment like my British friend. I had a guy from Great Britain. I sit across a table from him in Canoga Park, which is out in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley, and he's a sweetheart of a guy, and he was very proper and very British and stoic. Oh my God, was he stoic. That means he showed no emotions. And we were sitting across the table, and it was a beautiful day in Southern California, just another lousy day in paradise. And I'm looking at this guy, and I don't know how we got on this subject, but Suddenly he said, yes, I was going to be married one day, and I was at the altar, and my wife never came. My bride never came. She left. And he had swallowed all that pain. And I looked across at him, and I said, I was hurting. And I looked at him, and I said, wow, that must have really hurt. I was the first person in his life to offer empathy in the moment. And my tears rose up, and his tears rose up. And he began to let out the pain of being rejected. And he was stuck. He was still stuck in his emotions at the altar. And the Lord wanted to release him from that incredible pain. Any good? God's good, isn't he? And I still have a message I have to get back to. So here we go. Jesus saw their faith. That's where we were. What? Okay, right. And he said to the paralytic, son, get this. Watch this now. Get this around your head. Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your heart? Now watch the genius of this. Watch the genius of this. Which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, rise and take up your bed and walk? Now just think for a minute. On first glance, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because you can't see that. You can't see sins being forgiven. So at first glance, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven than to rise up. Because if you say rise up, he's got to rise up. But on second glance, even though it's easy to say, it wasn't easy for Jesus to do. Because he was borrowing from what he was going to be doing. And the forgiveness that flowed was coming from the crucifixion. So it's easy to say, your sins are forgiven. But the cost hadn't been paid yet. And so now we have the blood of Jesus already being activated ahead of time to forgive this man. And then we have the resurrection of Jesus being activated to raise him up. You've got in the picture here, you've got the crucifixion and the resurrection foretold. So what's it easier to say? Jesus died and rose again. And he accomplished the forgiveness of sins and the raising up of all of us. And then to finish it out, he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before all of them so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Is that right? I want to put up another scripture. How much more will the blood of Christ, everybody say blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, say eternal spirit, offered himself without blemish to purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood of Christ, eternal spirit. Blood of Christ, eternal spirit. Let me see if I can explain this to you. Jesus Christ was in a human body and his blood was shed on the cross. And through his blood, we have forgiveness of sins. Is that right? Then why does it say the eternal spirit? Because this is why. The blood wasn't going to stay on the earth. It was going to be representing us throughout eternity. So the eternal spirit, eternal means there's no beginning and there's no end. There's life of God. The life of God, the eternal spirit, entered into the blood. So now the blood is alive forever. It's alive forever. The blood is alive forever. Now watch this. Blood is the life of man. Spirit is the life of God. So what God's doing is he's going to clean out the cup. How many of you want a surgeon working on you who's just had his hands in the mud? So the Lord says, I'm going to clean the vessel with the blood. How many of you know, had Jesus not risen up from the dead and become the executor of the will of God, nobody would be cleansed. The blood had to be outpoured before the Spirit could be outpoured. But once the blood was outpoured to cleanse the heart of man, the Spirit could come in to empower the man. Whew. Is that good? Is that helpful? So therefore, you and I need the full weight of all the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to feel in your conscience the complete purifying of the blood. You need to have every sin washed out of you. You need to be completely made pure in every place of your soul so that God's Spirit can come and move and live in you. The Bible says that you will rescue him who is not innocent because of the cleanness of your hands. So God doesn't want you. How many of you had all kinds of, just call it this great Hebrew word, gobbledygook. One day you're serving Jesus, the next day you're not. One day you're over here, come on, help me, everybody. Come on, help me. The vacillating, and then you're trying to help somebody else, but you're really just not that clean. And the Lord says, there's no condemnation in this because you're seeking him, and you are missing. See, the thing about what does Jesus have to do to make you better? He doesn't have to do anything more. You just need to understand what he's already done. And his blood is powerful to making you completely clean in every place of your life. And then the power of the Lord's Spirit comes. John 14:30 says that the ruler of this world has come. Jesus is mentioning. He says, but he has no claim on me. And the Lord said, the reason I poured out my blood is so he'll have no claim on you. In other words, you won't have anything in common. The demons only show up when they find something in common. Oh, you a liar? You a regular liar? I'm a spirit of lying. I'll come and live in you. Oh, you a fornicator? I'll give you all the lust you could ever imagine. I'll keep it going. I'll keep you bound. I'll keep you full of shame. I'll keep you locked up. Oh, man, the sins just go and go and go. Whatever it is. And you say, I need the purifying power of the blood. And here's what the Lord's saying. I'm going to make you innocent before me. I'm going to clean you. He's already come in your spirit, but now I'm going to come in your soul, in all the mind and all the will and all the emotions, all those areas where you've been just weak and given over to the wrong stuff. Lord says, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to teach. I'm going to give you forgiveness. He says, what's it easier to say? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or rise up to prove to you that the Son of Man has the ability, the authority to forgive sins? Rise up. And you start to walk in a way you could never walk before because Jesus has cleansed your life. I just got an impression from the Lord. Go ahead and lift your close your eyes and lift your head. The Lord's releasing something over your minds right now. The blood of Jesus is just being applied to your minds and to cleanse you. There's a touch coming right now. Just open to that. Lord, just show me. I just want to touch my people right. Some of you, there's just this clutter going on, and the Lord says, I'm going to just wash it away right now. Just say, Father, forgive me for participating with the clutter of the devil. Just go ahead and say those words. Cleanse me, Lord Jesus, in my mind. Cleanse me, Lord, by the power of your blood. Wash my thoughts. Wash me clean. wash my thoughts, wash me clean, cleanse. Now let the blood come. Let the blood just course through, give you a pure conscience. Let it do its thing. Let the blood do its thing. Praise you, Lord. Let's praise Him. Praise you, Lord. Just open to it. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not one ounce of condemnation. There's no shame. There's no shame. There's no guilt. It's Jesus is saying, I'm cleansing your mind. I just had that impression. He says, I'm going to touch minds right now. I'm just going to touch minds because there's strongholds. He says, I want to rule over those. I want to rule over those and break those right now and cause there to come a peace over your mind. You just need to have that spirit of receive the blood, receive the forgiveness of Jesus, and have the spirit in you. Repentance means that you hear something and you decide to go the other way. So in your mind right now, just determine, I'm going to go back to Jesus in this thought process. I'm casting this argument down. I'm not going to have a high thing between me and God. I'm receiving the blood to take dominion and make my mind clean and pure and make my heart pure before Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, Spirit of God, come with your resurrection power right now. Come with your resurrection power right now. Come with your resurrection power right now. Give hope. You've come to the right place today. There's hope. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, I love this verse. You see, the blood is going to be sung about. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you ransom people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The blood has come into heaven. It's been presented, and all mankind can come before the Lord of glory and experience eternal salvation because of the blood that's shed. The price tag has been paid for your soul. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, let's just rejoice a little more. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the blood of the Lamb by which we are all ransomed. The debt has been paid through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Whew. Hallelujah. So is there something that the Lord is saying, look, you've been crippled in this place. You've been paralyzed. You've been slow. You've been stuck. You've been stuck here. You've been paralyzed. You've not been able to move forward. But I'm highlighting to you a place in your soul, a place in your life that I want to forgive completely so I can declare to you, rise up and walk. You see, that's what we're dealing with today. We're saying we want to come before the Lord. Let's go put up this last scripture, 1 John 5, 7 through 8. There are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they all agree. What does this mean? This means that the Holy Spirit comes when the water is applied. The primary place that the water is applied is in water baptism. Sometimes when you come up here, we may take some water and put it on a handkerchief and put the water on your forehead to activate what the Spirit bears witness to, that the blood cleanses you and the Spirit empowers you. Because when you go down in the water, you come up and here's what He does. The Spirit bears witness that your sins are forgiven by the power of the blood. And the Spirit bears witness that the resurrection power of Jesus now raises you up. It all happens. The three of them agree. They are in agreement. And so we want to work with them in agreement. We want the fullness. Have you ever been around a person who's anemic? That means they have their red blood cells or hemoglobin is low. And they're very weak. And that's what happens in the body of Christ when the blood is not embraced. When the blood is not in people, the body of Christ gets weak and anemic because the blood is not empowering. The blood is not making people innocent. The blood is not working. But Jesus says, come. It's the one thing. There's so many things wrapped up. You're brought near to God through the blood. Your sins are forgiven through the blood. You who are far away are now brought near. Why? Because the life of God says, I got claim on you, and I've paid for you, and I'm cleansing you, and I'm making your conscience clean, and I'm causing you to come forward. And it says, now let me pour my spirit on you, and now make you a vessel of honor, and you can do things you could never do before, because now you're not hung up in your sins trying to serve God in your own strength. You're saying, I had nothing, he has everything, and now he empowers me to be what I could never be. Yeah. It's all about receiving the forgiveness and the full power and potential of the blood. God's not partial. He just looks for an open person. And I want to tell you one of the arguments that the adversary uses on people. You failed before. You've tried this before. He always tries to lay that number on you. Well, I'm just going to say you didn't know enough. You haven't applied everything that Jesus has given you. You don't know the fullness of the grace. He says he resists the proud, but he gives grace, more grace to the humble. It might just be another level of humility you're coming into. You say, Lord, because it's a fearful thing to just, I remember being prayed for and one time the people were praying and I didn't want to tell them what I did because I feel like they'd just be reject me even more because I rejected me for what I did. And you know who didn't reject me for what I did? Jesus. See, that's the thing. Jesus doesn't. And here's the deal. He changes your appetite and he makes it where you just want the things that are just better for you. You just keep hanging around Jesus. He'll just do that. You'll turn around and go, I don't even know who that guy was. But because he doesn't like the things he used to like. He doesn't dwell in the things he used to dwell in. Keep walking. Keep rising up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's lift our heads now as we're standing and say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for the shed blood that forgives my sins. It is my choice today to receive the fullness of your forgiveness. I receive it right now. Father God, I receive the resurrection power of Jesus Christ within me. To empower me to live the life I couldn't before. I take authority over all the works of the devil. I renounce the hidden things of shame. And I cast them down in the authority of Jesus' name. Now let's praise Him. Praise the Lord.